Now, I've just completed a series on 1 Peter, and of course, the last sermon that I preached was on Father's Day. And from July onwards, for the next 3 Sundays that I will be preaching, we are going to touch about worship, all right? And today, this morning, we are going to talk about vital worship. It's taken from Psalm chapter 66, verses 1 to 7, just to give you a breakdown in a way, right? So this week, today is going to touch about vital worship, and the next time I preach will be on the July 28th. We will talk about the purpose of worship, specifically taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And lastly, as we end the series on worship, August 18, a lifestyle of worship taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Also take note that August 18, the Boys Brigade members will be leading us in the time of worship. All right, so we want to thank God for the ministry and for the people who are willing to serve, and that as they serve, they will continue to experience God's love. Now, as we move on to vital worship, today's sermon in a way, a few days ago, I actually asked Krista, right? She is 3 years old. And where is she? She's somewhere. Inside? Oh, inside. Okay. She was out here just now. So, being a 3-year-old, she actually managed to count 1 to 30. And then if we help her a bit, like 30, then she can go 31 to 40. 40, 41 to 50. 50, she can go on and on. So I thought, maybe it's time for me to challenge her, right? To see what number is greater, what number is smaller, all this stuff. She managed to capture that. But when I asked her, okay, so JC, her friend, has 3 apples. Yingyu has 4 apples. Teacher Esther has 5 apples. So the question is, who has the most apple? So who has the most apple? Teacher what? Teacher Esther. Do you know what she replied? Krista. I asked her again, 3 different names, same question. She turned out with the same answer. Even though she is not part of the equation, naturally, the center of everything is her. So as we look at worship, sometimes it is very easy for us to naturally think that worship, God, life, everything that is in our control and beyond our control is I, me, myself. Worship has everything to do with God. It is from I, me, and myself to God alone, God alone, God alone. Now, even at a young, tender age, she can sing. She worship God in a way. She sings, right? I wouldn't call that a worship yet. But it is very easy, even for us adults, to have the concept of to think that worship has everything to do with me. Especially challenging for the worship team. I'm under the limelight in a way. I did well, perhaps. My team did well. So it is always, always a reminder, a challenge, especially for the worship team, to focus and bring the people's focus on God and God alone. Now, in Psalm chapter 150, verse 6, that is the end of the book of Psalms. That is the last words of the book of Psalms. It says that let everything that breathes, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we do look forward to the time, or we do look forward to the day, August 18, where the BB members will be leading us in a very powerful song. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, as I prepare this sermon, I came across this Chinese article, in a way. It is a sharing from this verse. And this person actually shared the meaning of a man's life. I have translated the whole thing and concise it in this way. Right? The meaning of a man's life, your life, my life, is that God has created with eyes so that we can look up to God. God has created us with ears so that we can listen and obey God. God has created and give us a tongue so that we can praise God, with a mouth to preach God, with a nose to feel God, with hands to serve God, with legs to follow God, with a brain to think about God, with a body to witness God, and our whole being ultimately is to glorify God. So let's turn to our passage this morning. If you have your Bible with you, Psalm 66 verses 1 to 7, three main points today. I've taken this from the ESV version, English Standard Version. All right. So if you are there with your NIV version, with your New Living Translation, with whatever version that you are using, right? So just follow me through as I read to you this morning. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. First point, the scripture says to shout, sing, and praise. This can be found in verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Now, do you remember when was the last time you shouted? Anyone of you? Okay, maybe let me do a survey. Anyone of you is into football? Soccer, right? We have one, we have two, three. Yes, Eva, I saw you. I see you, JB, yes. Levy, is that you? Yeah, Levy. All right, who is into badminton? Okay, all right. I have a little bit more badminton fans here. Now, especially before COVID, right? If you remember, we do have the Mamak place, right? Do you know what's a Mamak? Yeah, you know what's about, right? So especially during World Cup, Thomas Cup, you see people gather together, all right? They will have their so-called supper together and they will catch, right? They will watch the big screen when the World Cup is ongoing. They will watch Thomas Cup there. And suddenly when you hear from a far away place, you know, there are shouts, you know definitely either Malaysia score for badminton, or in the World Cup, the country that they supported score. Right? So all of us, in a way, shouts. And of course, we have the Thomas Cup, Malaysia, 1992, a way, 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 way long before, a very, very long time ago, where we finally won. Right? All of us, in a way, shout. We shout when we experience great joy. We shout when we experience victory. When there was a tension of competition, you know, you are like there in front of the TV those days, before Mamak time, you were shouting together as a family. And when we, you know, when we have arguments, heated arguments, sometimes we shout. In moments of great danger, we shout out the name of the person who may be in danger. We shout when there was an explosion of anger. So all in all, when we shout, it involves strong emotions from within. And usually when we shout, we rarely shout alone. Even in argument, you know, you have to be two person. You shout against that person shout back, you know. That's where the fun is, right? So we rarely shout alone. Similar to laughing. Do you laugh alone? It's quite scary, right? Shouting, laughing, if we look at it, it seems to be designed primarily as a corporate expression. Corporate expression of a strong emotion. And that strong emotion can be most enjoyable, it can be most helpful, it can be most needful at times. So when we shout together, it shows that we belong together at that very brief moment of time. When we score, and tomorrow is a public holiday, we shout. And if we win World Cup, two days public holiday perhaps, we shout. And if we win the Olympic, Olympic as the main winner, and we have a 1 week holiday, all Malaysia gone shouting. So when we shout, it shows that we are connected to a certain emotion together. And similarly, we see that in the scripture, again and again, the psalmist encourages or giving us the command to shout. Right? Psalm 27 verse 6, Psalm 32 verse 11, Psalm 33 verse 3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully, shout for joy. And Psalm 47 verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. I'm not sure whether you have heard of this song before. Anyone of you heard of this song before? Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a... wrong generation. Voice of triumph. All right. So sorry, I'm old. Psalm 71 verse 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. Now, God clearly wants us to do something. These commands, the word shout, the word sing, the word praise is not there randomly. God put those words there expecting us to follow. It is not an option. It is not an opinion. It is something that we ought to follow. So God clearly wants us to do something about this. But as we look into our church today, right, we don't have that, right? Do we shout for joy when we worship God? We'll talk about the expression of worship, all right, in the sermons to come. And definitely, you and I believe we are mature enough to know when to shout, right? It is okay to shout in the ball game. It is not okay to shout in the funeral. Do we agree on that? We agree on that, right? We are not shouting in a funeral. Now, psalms, hymns, worship songs, they are meant to be sung together with other believers. That is why we have Sunday service. That is why we have Sunday service, where believers come together, and when we sing, sometimes some of us, especially the younger generation, perhaps they sometimes will shout together. This is an expression of worship in a corporate setting. We can have our devotion time. We can listen to the songs that is meant for worship, for praise in our own time, every day in our life. But there's something more to just worship on Sunday morning. It is worshiping God together. So when we come before God, right, it is a worshiping God together. Again, Psalm 111 verse 1, ESV version. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company. You are now in the company of the upright in the congregation. So when we sing, this is something like partaking of the Lord's Supper together. We are in the presence of fellow Christians. We share the same Heavenly Father. We are linked together because of the blood of Jesus. We are calling each other brothers and sisters. And this is important. This is important. There are mainly two reasons why we are not shouting for joy to God. And the first very obvious one is that perhaps we are not in tune with the reality of the mercies of God. We are forgetful people. I accepted Christ back in 1997. That is a very, very long time ago. And 1997 until now, I am forgetful, and sometimes it applies to all of us where we have been forgetful. We've forgotten the reality of the mercies of God. That at times we have been taking God for granted. We are not in tune with our redemption, what God has saved us from. Because we always focus on God's love. We always focus on heaven. We always focus on the salvation, being with God forever. But we always, always forgotten, what if we are not putting our faith in Jesus? What happens to us then? We have forgotten that part of our redemption. And sometimes we are not in tune with the promise of our resurrection. We live as if there's no tomorrow. We are not looking forward for the day that Jesus is coming. So much so that, you know, our life may be putting, you know, the focus at the wrong place. And that sometimes, very often, we are not in tune with Christ's ultimate triumph. That Jesus is victorious. So when we come together on Sunday, when we sing of the song together, when we shout, per se, we are actually remembering, being reminded through the lyrics of the song that we sing of all this. And usually we cannot sing if we don't agree upon it, or we don't understand it, or in certain cases we don't understand who God is. The other reason why we are not shouting for joy in God, to God, is that of course we don't have the habit of shouting together. We will again talk about the method of worship in the future, right? We cannot replicate this feeling. We cannot replicate this experience of corporate worship anywhere else apart from a church on Sunday. So let me do something here. Right? Let me try something, right? So if you agree on my statement, the words that I'm going to say later, at your place, just shout out, amen. Can you do that? No need to shout when you are singing, right? This statement and as a response of it. So let's try this out. The first statement, God is good all the time. Good job. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Amen. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen. For from Christ and through Christ and to Christ are all things, and to Christ be the glory forever. Amen. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So when we say amen, when we respond together, we are in a way connected, saying that we agree. Saying that we agree to all this proclamation. By the way, they are from the scripture. So they are right. They are all right. Now the second part about, it's here. The second part about the verses that we have here is that all nations, we are called to praise the Lord. All nations. How awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you, all the earth, all nations, everybody worships you and sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Now this is an invitation for all. For everybody to see God's deeds, whether they believe in God or not, or whether they have yet to believe in God, this is an invitation for everybody to see what God has done in our life. Now, do take note here, there are enemies involved. Enemies in that sense, they don't believe in God, they don't submit to God, they don't obey God. This group of people, what will happen to them? They will cringe and bow before the king. They will bend in fear. They may have anxiety. They may have some fear that something bad or unpleasant will happen to them, the enemies of God. So in the scripture, it is mentioned that something will definitely happen to them, especially those who are called the enemies of God. But even this group of people, ultimately, when the day comes, Everyone will worship Jesus. Hebrews 3, 7 to 11. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestor tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I say their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We know what happened to them. God's people, under the leadership of Moses, God called them up of Egypt. And after that, they have been very consistent in disobeying God, in their disbelief. That ultimately, God hardens, you know, declare in his anger that they shall never enter the Canaan land in a way. And we do see that none of that generation entered Canaan land. Every knee will bow, any tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every tongue, friend or foe, friends of God or foes of God. Ultimately, all of us will be dead. The fence are you on? The question for us today is that which side of the fence are you on? Are you a friend of God? Do you know God? Or are you on the other side of the fence where you are still an enemy of God? Those who have responded to the gospel in faith and repentance, they will bow down, they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord gladly and willingly. And that's where we have to worship corporately, to be reminded that as we sing, we are in a way confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are in a way being reminded of the deeds of Jesus on the cross through the song and through the lyrics that we sing. Now, for those who have hardened their hearts, they will bow down, their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they do so with great fear and trembling. So again, which side of the fence are you on? And lastly, there is this word here, specifically found and mainly found in the book of Psalms. And of course, we have three in the book of Habakkuk. It is Selah. It is usually, you know, we don't have a translation for this. So this word Selah is actually transliterated from the Hebrew word. And it is used as a pause in the text or as an interlude. So to encourage all the readers to stop, to listen. To stop and to listen, to ponder and to meditate. So as we look at this passage again, there are two pauses, Selah. One after verse 4 and the other one after verse 7. So if we read this psalm again, using the pondering and meditation, you know, thinking, reflecting again. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Selah. So when you read of the book of Psalm, when you come across the word Selah, pause, think about what was read earlier. The psalm calls us to shout for joy, to sing the glory of his name, to give to him glorious praise, and he is asking us to reflect how awesome are God's deeds before us. It is to remind us that God has great power, that even the enemies of God will come cringing. And on that day when Jesus comes again, whether we like it or not, all of us will worship him, will sing praises to him. This is what is being reminded here. Then the next one, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. again an invitation for us to meditate and to ponder that, again, the deeds, God's deeds, what He has done for the children of men. So in verse 6, it specifically goes back and talk about God delivering the people of Israel, of the Israelites, the Hebrew, from Egypt, right? They passed through the dry land, God through Moses opened up the Red Sea, and the people were safe. They were delivered by God. So as we look into a time of praise and worship, through the songs that the worship leader has chosen, prayed for, in line with the scripture and in line with the sermon that week, our role as a worshiper is to shout, to sing, and to praise God every Sunday as a response to God's deeds. And it is very, very important for us to ponder and meditate upon God's work in our life. And of course, we are not there to observe and to see what Jesus has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. We are not there to see how God delivered the people of Israel through the Red Sea. But we can see the revelation found in the scripture. That as we sing of the song, as we read of the passages, as we read of the scripture, we are able to see again and again what God has done. And out of the realization and out of the understanding, we are to respond, shouting together, singing together, praising God together. Worship is our response to God's love for us. And we do it collectively as a church on Sunday from 11 to 12:30. What happens after that? We'll talk about that in the future. So are you ready to worship God this morning? May I invite the worship team up? After understanding, perhaps, prayerfully, that worship is a response to God's love for us, the worship team will be leading us in response by singing the song, Your Presence, Your Presence. Now, so let us come before the Lord, perhaps, hopefully, with a renewed understanding, with a renewed attitude, knowing that it is very vital for us to worship together as a church, especially that's only once a week. We are forgetful people. We pray that through the lyrics of the song, that we are being reminded of His goodness again and again.